Okay, veterans, stand again. And now, the rest of you, I want you to join these veterans by standing with them. And we're going to open this message with this song. Go ahead with the first one, please. Put your hand over your heart, please. And you should know this song well. And turn it up. There you go. And you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and broad stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Please remain standing. Shall stand in the war's desolation, rest the victory and peace. May the heaven-rescued land raise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. And conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free. Of the grave. Amen. All right, remain standing, please. Let us go to prayer this morning, praying a prayer from the prayer journal of George Washington. Listen to these words out of his prayer journal. O eternal and everlasting God, I presume to present myself this morning before thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to accept of my humble and hearty thanks, that it hath pleased thy great goodness to keep and preserve me the night past from all the dangers poor mortals are subject to, and has given me sweet and pleasant sleep, whereby I find my body refreshed and comforted for performing the duties of this day, in which I beseech thee to defend me from all perils of body and soul. Increase my faith in the sweet promises of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts unto thyself, the God of my salvation. Teach me how to live in your fear, labor, and in your service, and ever to run in the ways of your commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor an unwillingness to depart this life may cast me into a spiritual slumber, but daily frame me more and more unto the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may be in thy appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred. In Jesus' name, Amen. You may be seated. What a prayer was that. We're going to go back in time this morning and hear a sermon by the founding fathers of the United States of America. Now, yesterday we celebrated our nation's 250th birthday, 250 years, and I stood out in the yard and looked up at the flag. It wasn't just the nation's flag, it was my father's flag. He put that pole out in the yard, had it painted just right, had the eagle painted gold. And not long ago, it was in disrepair, and I couldn't get it to work, and thank God. And Blake Cook, I don't even see him here in here. He went out of the room, didn't he? Went out there feeling led of God to repaint that flag pole and paint. And what color do you think he painted the eagle? I didn't say a word. Gold. And I looked up at that flag and thanked God for people like Blake, because my dad, and I hope God opened a little portal to let him see that. My dad's birthday was on the 4th of July, too. July 4th, 1924. And he loved our nation. And so I see my dad's dedication. And every veteran here today that you are listening, I hope after this message you realize that your time you sacrificed was not in vain, because you stood for something much bigger than maybe a lot of people in the secular world is telling you today. And if I had my way, if I was a politician, I would give you every last benefit that you could have. I would set you guys up for life. That's the way I feel about it. But we're going to go back in time this morning and hear a sermon by the founding fathers of the United States of America. And of course, we're 250 years old as a nation. And it would be sad if I didn't recognize the deep spiritual history of the United States today and show you where the hearts of our founding fathers were in the early years of the birth of our nation. This has been covered up, painted over. People tried to deny it, but yes, our nation was founded on faith in the God of the Bible through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt in my mind about it. And when you hear some of the comments of some of our early founding fathers, you're going to realize where their hearts were. These great founders will help me preach this message today. In fact, the message will be largely given by them. Great quotes from their hearts about this new nation and the need for God's hand to be on it spilled from their pens and out of their mouths. I pray these quotes and the Word of God will be in your hearts and minds today, along with the prayer that our nation will by and large return to God as the foundation was set by this prophecy given by Emily this morning. Listen, if you will, to the contrast of what these great founders said in their day concerning their faith in our nation and what is being said today by people who either in ignorance or deliberately are denying the truth. This is a time of reflection and obedience to our Lord to seek His face and petition Him to heal our land. Now, you may stay seated. I've been having you stand a lot. But let's sing. We're going to be singing a lot this morning. Songs that you grew up as a child hearing, and that we used to sing in school even. I remember at Brown Township singing this song. But let's sing this next one. You may have to turn the volume down on this one. We'll see. But let's sing this beautiful song. I'm going to come and join you and sing it with you.
Countries is the beast, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father's died, land of the pilgrims come, from every mountain side, let freedom ring. Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin, to colleagues at the Constitutional Convention. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise with his aid? He knew of Psalm 75, verse 7, but God is the judge, and he puts one down and exalts another. Thomas Jefferson agreed and went further to say, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath. President Jefferson knew the author of true liberty, for he found it in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now I did a little studying about Thomas Jefferson because he seemed kind of like an independent, kind of a wild card back then, where you never really knew where his faith was. And I found out a lot of interesting things about that man. He came and he was part of the Church of England, and he saw institutionalized religion, not letting people free by the power of Jesus Christ, but the other. And so he would probably in our day be a man that would be in non-denominational churches. But I can tell you something else. What document, just to quiz you guys, what document did he write? I'll give you a 50-50 chance, either the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. Which one? I hear voices, but I can't. If you're confident, say it out. Declaration of Independence. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jefferson. I'm going to give you some more quotes from him. Because it was troubling, and I've heard this said during my lifetime. I mean, Jefferson, as he began to write, he said that he came to this truth that all men were created equal. And that was a download from God in his soul, because you see that Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Now you imagine having to come up in our country on that side of everything and how difficult it could be when you think about liberty. How could he say all men were created equal and owned slaves? But what you didn't know about Thomas Jefferson is that he wrote that out, and when it went to them to look it over, they made about 25% of the changes. And Thomas Jefferson, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, felt very convicted, and in that, he literally wrote the abolition to make slavery illegal. And most people don't know that. He still has that copy in his house. And he knew something was wrong because God was telling him something different than what was in the theology of his head. Unfortunately, they struck it out of the Declaration of Independence because they didn't think some of the southern state representatives would sign it. Now, listen, church. When God gives you a truth, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, there is not slavery. And what happened in our nation? One, just a little bit of words, and how many of you know our nation's not perfect? But we were founded on principles from God, and that part where all men were created equal stood and eventually did bring that freedom, but it should have brought that freedom when we started. And because some men ignored it and ignored the truth from God, less than 100 years later, we paid a dear price. Had we heard God then, we lost more men and women in the Civil War than we did all the wars put together. And that would have just changed the whole dynamic of the South, and that never would have happened. This is why it's important to pay attention to words from God. Nevertheless, Jefferson, God was working in that man. And let's see. Thomas Jefferson agreed and went further to say, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift from God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath?" President Jefferson knew the author of true liberty, for he found it in 2 Corinthians 3:17, and perhaps it's still on the front page of your Indianapolis Star. I hope they did not remove it. It's been there since I was a child. You see a little scripture at the top where it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Do you guys remember that in the Indianapolis Star? I hope it's still there. Thomas Jefferson went on to say, "I indeed tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever, that considering numbers, nature, and natural means only, a revolution of the wheel of fortune, an exchange of situation is among possible events, that it may become probable only by supernatural interference from God Almighty." Psalm 33, 4 and 5, "For the word of the Lord is right, and his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Patrick Henry, the man who proclaimed, "Give me liberty or give me death," proclaimed, "Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. Whoever you are, remember this, and in your sphere, practice virtue yourself and encourage it in others." And now, sadly to say, righteousness across America, unrighteousness is now called righteousness. When the word it says right says this in Proverbs 14:34, and Patrick Henry knew these words, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Listen, excuse me. Listen to the following and think for a minute what would happen in the news, the protest of what would be stirred up in these latter days if a current president of the United States made this comment made by President James Madison. Now imagine if Donald Trump said this today. Now they got all crazy when his wife Melania said the Lord's Prayer before an event. They flipped out. Separation of church and state. Here's James Madison. "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government. Far from it. We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the commandments of God." Wow, can you imagine that being said today? "The future and success of America," Madison went on to say, "is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon this which this Constitution is founded." Did you hear what he said? He was the main person in writing the Constitution. "The future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution is founded." Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. The person himself who penned it said it. President Madison proclaimed, "Even the very Constitution of the United States was based upon the laws of God." Yes, people, today, try to deny it. But deception will never permanently do away with the truth. Madison knew the importance of the law of God, for it says in Psalm 19, 7 through 10, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb." Written by another leader, only that was King David. Perhaps George Washington, the father of our country, read the passage in the Bible this passage when he made this proclamation. Somebody's horn's going off out there, wouldn't you know? Now listen back to me here. Sometimes you got to just turn it right around. And I'm going to make a comment too while he's fixing that. I've been told that all our founding fathers were Masons. I looked it up. It's another lie. Only one was, and I don't know why he was. And a lot of people get into the Masonic Lodge through ignorance, and it was George Washington. Do you know John Adams and John Quincy Adams spoke against it? He spoke against it and said it was evil. Madison had nothing to do with Masonry, nor did Jefferson. Little gray car. Wouldn't you know it? That's all right. Well, it's a lie that every founding father was a Mason. They were not. In fact, Adams was violently opposed to it and said there was an evil poison. Now, if you're here today and you've been involved in Masonry, I'm not condemning you, but we need to have a little talk. Because there's a parallel. It's not even a gospel, but it's a division. But George Washington was, but I don't know how deep he was in it or how much he knew about it. But nevertheless, he said this: it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. What if somebody said that today? Your word, says the Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we're going to have our nation governed, we must govern it by this book. Oh, if I was a politician, I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail today. I won't. And listen to the bold truth President John Adams proclaimed. Wow. What if a president said this today? We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. Whoa! President of the United States. Oh, you're going to say that when they said separation of church and state, they meant take God out of the government? I think they didn't mean that the way we made it. Imagine what folks would say in the media today if a president said that. However, President Adams must have known his Bible well, for it is written in Ephesians 4:4-6, there is only one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I'll repeat John Adams' words again. We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. And again, President Madison also stated, cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. So he was talking about colleges, schools, cursed be all the learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. And yet, when I was a little boy, they took prayer out of school. I have to ask, are we teaching in the public school system today anything that is contrary to the cross of Christ? Think about it. President James Madison, writer of the Constitution, made that statement. President Madison must have taken the Apostle Paul seriously when he gave this commandment to the church. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's where he got that. We desire the truth to be proclaimed in our nation. At least I hope you as a Christian do. The truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you stand for that truth on your workplace when you're sitting in the break room and all kinds of other things are being said, and you need to speak up? You don't have to answer that question, but I remember those work days. It's a lot easier when you're pastoring a church. But I remember some of the things being said, and I remember having to stand up and always not often being very popular. I remember one time a guy spilled his coffee on the table, and he took the Lord's name in vain. He said, well, and I just blurted out, it's not his fault, is it? And you got so quiet at that table. And finally somebody said, well, I guess it's going to rain this afternoon. Didn't know what to do with that. Church, we desire God's blessing on this nation, don't we? We want. So let us take a couple of minutes. Now, let's stand up again. This song was written in 1938. And old Kate Smith sung it. I love it. Let's stand and sing it. It's a short song. But just for a little reinforcement, let's sing this song. Land that I love, stand beside me and guide me with your light from above, from the mountains to the prairie.
And what happened in a couple years? America didn't know what was about, what they were about to have to be plunged into, right? World War II, a demon-possessed man in Germany had it in his head that there was a superior race and he was going to annihilate and make slaves out of everybody that wasn't white, right? And I always thought it was, I guess I need to turn this on. I always thought that it was a little odd that the only allies he could get were Italians and Japanese. And they weren't, you know, his Aryan thing that he preached. That's demon possession. We live in a country where all men are created equal. And, you know, I have to say, even though we broke from England, God bless England, because they held out and held out. And they were bombed to smithereens and they wouldn't surrender till we finally got into it. I remember my dad playing old Winston Churchill, that speech where Winston Churchill, I don't think I could talk like him, but he said, we'll fight them on the land, we'll fight them on the sea. We will never surrender. He waited for the United States to get involved, and we did, and my dad was in that war. Anyway, that was in a fight for the very freedom of civilization. Can you imagine what would have happened had he conquered the world? And there are even people today that don't even want to admit the Holocaust happened. 6 million Jewish people killed in a very horrible way. There's another man
that knew in his heart that men were created equal. And he wasn't a founding father, but he had to refound this nation in one form or another, and that was Abraham Lincoln. And he was my favorite president. And it was Abraham Lincoln who was known for using the Bible to get his wisdom, and he made the following statement. In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things must be desirable for man's welfare. Here and hereafter, all are found portrayed in it, the book of the Bible. And he knew about 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Abraham Lincoln went on to say, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have absolutely no other place to go but to the Bible and to the Lord. St. Peter also said the same thing. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Because I love President Abraham Lincoln, allow me to yet give you another statement made by him. Because I love him, and I've loved the principles that man stand on, and the fact that he had to lay his life down for this country, I'm quoting him again when he said, and whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own the dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord. Wow. There are people that do backflips and freak out anytime a president even mentions the word God now. It was common. That's what we were based on. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln, before his death, knew his fate? And many of you don't know this. Look it up, study it. About a week before he was shot, Abraham Lincoln had a prophetic dream. And in the dream, he woke up and he kept hearing people weeping. And he was dreaming. He was, of course, in the White House. And he went down to a certain room in the White House, and there was a casket in the middle of the room. And people were around it, and they were weeping. And he was trying to ask people, who died? Who are you crying about? And he wouldn't get an answer. And Abraham Lincoln, in this dream, walked up to the casket. And when he looked in the casket, he saw himself in the casket. He voiced this to his wife and to other people. And I think he had a sense that he was getting ready to move on to his Savior, for a week later, he was killed. Many people, we must be never ashamed to lay our life down for our Lord Jesus Christ and what he stands for. You veterans today, when you going out there, and I'm sure that, and I've never done it, but I'm sure the basic training was not fun.
In 1993, our senior drill instructor would always come in at night when we were asleep, and we sung the Lord's Prayer.
He sung, though, that's great. I hope Stephanie had the same experience. I don't know. No, she said no.
It was at Paris Island.
Paris Island, yeah. Because I always wonder where there's a lot of room for your faith in there. I know that Dave got saved on a ship with the rock with bombs going off and everything else over in near Vietnam. Do you know what? Your cause, based on the truths of this country and what it meant to be, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You indeed fight for freedom. You indeed stood on a good cause. We have strayed today because our educational system has slowly veered people away from these truths, right? Well, I want you to watch this next video, and it's sung by Lee Greenwood. And I want you to think of our country. As I come closer to the end of this message this morning, I want you to think and be thankful to God you were born here. Now, I've been around the world. I've been in third world countries. I've seen poverty. I've seen a lot of terrible things. And most people that blabber, I'm going to leave this country if this person gets elected, they never do, or they come back. This is the greatest country that you can live in. We still have freedom. And I appreciate the prophecy of hope this morning, even though we need to be warned about the other side. It looks like there's going to be a clash of God's spirit and the enemy here coming up. But I want you to watch this and think about our beautiful land and be thankful to God. You could have been born anywhere in the world, people. You could have been living and digging in garbage just to eat today somewhere. And I've seen it over and over. You could be in a place without hope with a terrible dictator, and people here don't know what a dictator is. So let's watch this, and you can sing along with it, but it's a beautiful video, and I just want you to watch it. You know, my dad, before he passed, came to the Lord. Looking back on his life, knowing that when he survived being a tail gunner in World War II, that everybody said he beat the odds because the odds of a tail gunner surviving were very low. And then when his heart stopped at the VA hospital and they couldn't revive him and he was technically dead for 20 minutes and he came back to life through the prayers of us being in a prayer circle in the waiting room. Remember that day, Kathy? My dad looked back on that and said, you know, God saved my life twice at least and decided to turn to Jesus. And he did. But before he died, he said, Kevin, when I was at the back of these planes and I was shooting and I saw those German planes go down, he says, I wondered how many of them went down because of the fire from my gun. And he said, would God forgive me for killing somebody? And I said, Pop, I said, the Bible says there's a time for war and a time for peace. Killing and murder is a deliberate action out of your lust and greed. And had we not done that, think of the millions more that Hitler would have killed. So in those songs, when it says, when we must conquer when our cause is just, sometimes that happens. Even God in the Bible ordered that. I have to say, though, I have to ask the question, and this is why this prophecy was so important at the beginning of this message. I didn't stage this. She had no clue what I was going to do. I didn't even know she was going to do this till 10 minutes before church started. But I have to say, what's happened to our country that we don't want to talk about God like it's some bad word or mention Him in our schools? Could our leaders speak this freely about their faith in God today? They try. A young man tried. He stood up and people were listening to him too by the millions. And it was our young people, college age, that had ears to hear of Charlie Kirk and what he had to say until he was gunned down. He talked freely about his faith in God and this nation, just like I did this morning. Why does God, by and large, by so many in our nation, get shoved aside like he doesn't exist? While we are dragged into the gutters of perversion, violence, drug addiction, paganism, and I could go on and on. We need God in America again. Play that old video by Carmen now, and I will close out this message. And you have to turn this one up too a little bit.
Abraham said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the word of God from the classroom in politics, you eliminate the nation that word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods up streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah affects us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is going to fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God.
And I look at the church today, and I look at Christian music, where, that was written 30 years ago, in the 90s, Carmen. Now, you imagine where it's at now. Dolores can tell you what it's like in the school system. They have lockdowns just like prisons now, because somebody may have a gun or something's going on. But what happened to the musicians we had with Salt? Where they would speak out against abortion and all this kind of stuff. It's all, I love Christian music, and they're coming out with great songs, but it's all kind of generic. They don't go there anymore. Listen, I believe the key to revival in this nation, bringing us back to God, is in the hands of the church. It's not in the hands of the world. They can't revive themselves. Unless this happens, we are on the edge of judgment. What is the best thing a Christian can do in these last days for our nation? We need to start by prayer. One of the most precious people in our church today is a gal who leads us in prayer. Every Friday night, she's faithful. She comes in here with two or three people. I'm not always here either, but they wait on God and they pray. And they pray. She was here at 6 in the morning Friday. And they pray. If my people who are called, Mary, thank you for doing that, Mary Bloom. We're going to have a revival, a move from God in here, and every revival I've ever seen happened because just a couple people prayed. Yeah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, you know this well, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. A move from God isn't going to happen because we come in here and sing 5 hours and we do all this and say, God, haven't we done all this? No, it's because we are flat on our faces and we are seeking the heart of God and we are asking Him to pour His Spirit out. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost after they waited in that room all that time, and it's the same today. I'm going to close in prayer, and we're going to close with one last song. And I hope that you've gotten a new perspective, not just on our land, but on God Himself. Heavenly Father, we pray for our leaders, local and national. And just like our people that went ahead of us hundreds of years ago, unless they get their wisdom from God and the Bible, unless they turn to God, we're not going to be led the right direction. We're going to get further into bondage and darkness. So I pray for a move of your Holy Spirit in Washington, in our state governments, in our local governments, a move of your Spirit. Father, draw people to Jesus in our government. I pray for unity in Jesus Christ to be what we are instead of in a political party. I pray, God, that you would withhold your judgment on this land. And I know you've been patient on us. I know you've got, because we are more accountable because we've had the light and so many has turned from it. But Lord, could you stay your hand longer for the sake of our children and our children's children? We don't know the hour you're coming back, but Lord, I want to see this freedom. I want to see more people saved in our land. Please withhold your hand of judgment. And I pray especially for our churches, for judgment first begins in the house of God. Help us to know that the power is in prayer, not what we do. And when we do come to worship, then we will be worshiping you truly in spirit and in truth. And then we'll want to sing even for days to you and worship you for days because revivals happened in our hearts. Amen. I pray for a mighty move of God across this land. I pray that we grab a hold of the prophetic word earlier today that was given by Sister Emily, and that we would indeed be in that, on that side that proclaims your word and your gospel and brings light in the darkness. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, my final words is a scripture out of Revelation 19:15. A day of judgment is coming. For it says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads on the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And that's what this songwriter was thinking about when he wrote this song. Everybody stand, and we're going to close on this song. We haven't sung it in a while in this church, and I'm sure it's been sung through the ages of this church, so let's sing it again.
Jesus sounded forth the trumpets that shall never shall return. ascending up.